Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? We are back. AfterBuzz TV for Power, Season 6, Episode 9, titled Scorch Earth. And Q is in the building, played by Tyrone Marshall Brown. Let's go!
Yeah. I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz again.
There we go.
And we back at it.
I just come from
wait,
the one
band. We waiting for band.
So I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Whoa, whoa, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We back now.
All right.
We back now.
So we back. Okay, so what's up, everybody? I'm Bam Erickson, and I want to introduce the panel.
Jill Monroe. What's up, everybody? This is Robin Ayers.
It's your man, Jamie V.
Okay, joining us via Skype from New York, he plays the character of Q Quinton. Please welcome Tyrone Marshall Brown. All right, so your character's back. All right, so you were cast. I remember doing a reading about this around 2018, saying that you were cast for this role. So tell us a little bit about this character.
He's very mysterious. You know, a lot of people keep asking me questions. Who is he? Is he working for the feds? And he's very mysterious at this point. He has a daughter. I feel like he's very lovable. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's why he keeps coming back to Tasha.
Mm-hmm.
He's a go-getter. And so it's going to be beautiful to see everybody, see everybody's reaction to how everything unfolds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it safe to say you're pretty much a dead man walking?
And you know, brother, I ain't afraid of no ghost, all right?
Okay.
Watch out for that ghost. I'm like, it was Halloween. That was a skeleton. Come on, let's do it.
Ooh. Hey, okay.
Speaking of that, before we get into that, there was someone on Instagram, Nisi X Sana, said, wanted me to ask you, what color casket do you want Q to be buried in? Oh,
she got jokes.
They coming with it.
Be a believer, baby. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I'm 50-50, so at first I was like, this dude cannot be that dumb to want to be this Captain Save-A-Ho dude to this girl that he barely knows, and
right,
to want to take out the husband of someone that he does not know. That's not smart. It's not smart, but at the same time, I got some questions for you. So, bruh, so where's Q's daughter? So Q came to the daycare to sign up his daughter for the daycare. We ain't seen the daughter. Where's she
not
at?
Not once.
It's not a place for children.
Apparently. It's a daycare.
Yeah, see what be going on down in there in that daycare, right?
Yeah.
Right, but it makes me wonder that if you actually have a daughter and that you were going there to set Tasha up for something that's revealed later. Because like I said, he came inquiring about the daycare. Well, we haven't seen him since episode maybe 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. He's not coming in often, because when he came into the office, Tasha's like, Q, what are you doing? So it's not as if Q comes to pick up his child every day. Right. So I wonder, does he even have a daughter? Is this just bullshit?
I love how much thought you put into this.
Thank you.
So wait. You thought I went to rent a daughter?
I think that was your story to Mac to get her to get your foot in the door. And because Tasha, as I said before, so this is not a shock, don't get on me, but you know, Tasha, when DIC comes to Tasha, she can't think. She has invented Q like she did Ziggy. So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it just now all makes sense that Q is working for somebody, and he possibly could take Tasha down, and she goes to jail because where's a daughter?
Hey, I don't know, man. I have no idea how it unfolds.
They did say
someone's
going to end up in an orange
juice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
Real quick, T, I would like to know how the audition process exactly.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Went though, man.
Yeah, you said exactly. I'll tell you exactly, bro.
Yeah.
So I found out about the character. I found out about the role, and then I got a call about the audition. I went in, and to be honest with you, I read it at least six times. Yeah, because I felt like the audition material was from my first episode, episode four, and just. You know, just like you guys see on the screen, it's very mysterious. I feel like things were very ambiguous, you know? And so as an actor, I really had to piece a lot of things together. I was like, wait, he's a construction worker. He has a daughter. He's coming in. This is his, you know, third or fourth time in here. Okay, cool. So who is this guy, you know? And so luckily the casting office, they were very, you know, sweet and patient with me. They let me do it a few different ways, a few different times. And that's what I believe now. I feel like I have the confidence after coming off of Love Is. To say, okay, I'll try that one more time. I'm going to try it this way. Let me play a little bit.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, exactly. Switch it up.
Yeah, exactly. So I really wanted to give them a different, few different takes on a character and let them decide which one they felt was best.
Well, I definitely think that, well, many people, because clearly reading the comments from all the fans, everybody knows that you're mysterious. We can't figure your character out. And so it wasn't until, so you did a good job, I want to say that, because you mentioned that he's mysterious. And so obviously it took you a while to kind of create this character. So that's the way it's coming across. So you did that well. But I got to say that... it wasn't until this episode, because first I just thought he was like a playboy or, you know, like I thought there's a true, genuine interest in Tasha.
Right, right.
But it wasn't until this episode that I was like, okay, he might have a little bit of thug in him. You know what I'm saying? That could
kind of be. I noticed that ever since he got on the scene.
Yeah, okay. But then, so someone actually had a really good question in the chat room. Mm-hmm. Paloma says... Because basically, now Q wants to protect Tasha from ghosts, right? Paloma says, why couldn't he protect her from Zig when Zig first came through?
Where was you at?
Because Tasha didn't... And that's another thing.
She hasn't asked him to protect her from ghosts either.
And another question that I want to ask is, so you go into the daycare, which looked like it's after hours. So she keeps the door unlocked, but whatever. I'm not going to be that petty. But so when Q comes in, he says that he heard about what happened.
Right. How'd you hear about it?
Yes. I caught that too.
Is it the talk on the block?
He's the
best. He's very intuitive, you know? He's very intuitive, as I'm sure you guys have picked up on. Mm-hmm. Even just, you know, the episode last night, you know, how quickly I picked up on the bruises and stuff. And I pieced things together. Q's out there, you know? He's out on the streets, you know? He's a construction worker. And there's a few other things that Q does to make ends meet, you know?
How similar is Tyrone to Q?
I feel like when it comes to the romantic life, very similar. I've been known to really pursue what I want, sometimes at a fault. Okay. And I'm maturing from that a little bit, you know. I definitely have learned my lesson. I've gotten some bruises and stuff. But I feel like he's very passionate, you know. The way he does is very passionate. And that's me.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to ask, were you a fan of the show before you joined the cast? And if there was another role you could have envisioned yourself in or you would have placed yourself in if you had carte blanche to pick any role to take over?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a huge fan of the show. I mean, it's Power. Power is it's a very iconic show. I mean, it's changed the game for stars totally. I feel like it's very dynamic, you know, just... The characters alone, you know, the duality within these characters is so beautiful, and I feel like to be able to play something like that would be a dream come true. So I feel like many characters would be a character to sink your teeth into. So it's hard to pick one. I've been a fan for a long time. I've known Notori I met Notori 11 years ago. I met her, like, about 12 years ago. at a McDonald's audition. Commercial audition. Wow. We bumped into each other in the street when she was doing Broadway and stuff like that. And then we lost contact. And then I ran into her at a Labor Day party. And then we, you know, just, hey, how you been? What's going on with you and stuff? So I was always a fan of the talent on the show. And I think the storylines are just impeccable.
So, I mean, I think it's safe to say that just looking at your face as we're talking and discussing, you don't give anything away quite easily. So, I mean, it's safe to say that we're going to watch Q's role unfold. Something is going to go down. I mean, there's a ton of theories, but, you know, would you agree that it's going to be, like, on and popping in just a little bit?
That we'll have our answers, our questions answered?
He ain't saying nothing.
You know, shoot, I wish I could. No.
So we know you can't say anything specific or give us any details.
He put Apple in his mouth.
I know. I'm just saying. You know, will we be at some point satisfied that we understand Q's place in all of this? At some point, you don't have to get anything specific. You know, that can mean many things.
Yeah, yeah. I think at some point, you all will be very happy.
Okay. All right. Blink two times.
I have one more thing to say. When you talked about how your character is intuitive, I don't buy that. Let me explain why. So when Tasha went in to explain about how after you came in and said you heard, and she was talking about how she was going to lose her place of business, the first thing Q did was blame, is this your ex-husband? This is before he saw the arm, because she
very
was still
true,
sitting in the chair.
Very true.
So you're not that intuitive. No, he's a fed.
Oh, he's a fit. That show? That's where you're going. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
He could be like Steve.
I thought
last
when
season.
He said, I heard about what happened, the only other person who was there was Epiphany.
So no, Epiphany, she ghosted. She was, she was out. She was out. Okay. But enough of that. So we just want to talk a little bit about you. You were in a movie for BET called Angrily Ever After. And so for anyone, that's available on BET On Demand, you guys can watch that. Can you tell a little bit about the character that you played on it?
Yeah, I play Rand Joyner. My character, I'm a CEO of a media company. Mm-hmm. And I bump into someone I knew in college, one of my peers, and she's doing her own thing on news, and she has a huge blow up with her career and personal life. And I come in to save the day, offer a job in my spot, and I do have some strange ways of going about it. And so we have a little falling out, but then at the end, you know, bong, chicka, wow, wow.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, so, I mean, obviously, you know, we touched on your acting skills, but let's talk about you as a person. And even, you know, now I tell everybody, anyone who's been on Power as a character, and whether they're off of the show now or still on the show, I'm sure their lives have changed drastically as far as people recognizing them and, you know, just different things like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about what your day-to-day life is like, and if Power has changed anything like that for you? Are you recognizable? You know, you got the ladies calling your phone. I mean, what's up?
Hey, so yeah, to be honest with you, my day-to-day life has changed a little bit since Power. I mean, I think in general, I think just, you know, where I'm at in my life, aside from show business and stuff, I've started to meditate.
There you go,
I've
brother.
I really take care of my mental health and spiritual health. As far as getting recognized, yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy because I'm a pretty private person. I know as soon as Power came out, I shaved my face and just had a mustache, and it was long, big, it was longer than this. I kind of wanted to just like still enjoy just being, you know, anonymous. And here and there it would happen. It's happening more and more often now. My face is growing out. Just as soon as I walk into my building tonight, actually, like five guys were standing outside. And then all I heard was Power. And I turned my head. I'm like, I shouldn't. Don't turn your head. Don't turn your head. I turned my head. Oh, that's him. That's him. Oh, I don't want people to know where I live. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it's crazy to me, because when I was in London about a month ago, I got recognized there more than I've gotten recognized here.
Oh, wow.
Well, that says a lot about Power, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wild over there. It was wild, you know, like just getting attacked at times, but I can only imagine what happens to you know, Notori and Amari. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame.
Right. Ty,
I would just like to touch upon the meditation, actually, because I started meditating I started last July, and I've seen somewhat of a change just as far as like my stress levels, yeah, as well as my anxiety goes.
It's a game changer.
Have you seen any changes?
Yeah, I have. You know, I recently had a breakthrough, and it was very powerful for me, borderline emotional. You know, what's funny, I think that the tipping point for me was, you know, Power came out. My first episode of Power came out right before I went to D.C. for my premiere of Angrily Ever After. And so there was that buzz, but also the premiere. And it just, you know, I'm pretty private with my life. I'm new to social media and all that stuff, so to speak. And so just the way people approached me, it kind of, whoa, okay, cool. You know, right, yeah, I got right. your picture. And then some people were a little aggressive, you know, and it kind of just, I felt like my stress level go up a little bit. And I knew there was no malice, but I'm like, well, let me just take care of this before, you know, things go along, because it comes with the territory, you know?
Overwhelming at times, right?
Yeah, you know, because you do want to be nice and please people and stuff, but I feel like I also want to make sure that I'm taken care of, you know, and whoever I'm there with, my loved ones taken care of at the forefront. I have seen some changes how I view myself and how I perceive the world. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about mental health. You're an advocate of mental health, and talk about the importance of it for you. Is there anyone that you know specifically dealing with it, or are you just thinking this climate in our generation that we're just not talking about it enough?
I think a little bit of both. You know, when I was in Love Is and I was on interviews and stuff, and people would ask me, where can we see you next? Or where can we see you next? And my first response, no matter what I'm doing or no matter what I'm up to, is hopefully walking in a brighter light than you saw me the day before. Mm-hmm. Because that's for me. You know, I mean, this is all great. This is wonderful. But if you're not intact here and here,
talk about
scary.
It. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very scary thought. And as far as do I know anyone that's dealing with it, I feel like most of us are, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we find ways to hide it, mask it. But I feel like most of us are dealing with things on a daily basis. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
I love it, brother.
So it was really great chatting with you, talking so many things about Power and what's going on with you. Can you let everyone know where you could be found on social media?
My Instagram is, you can find me at Tyrone Marshall Brown. And I don't really have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I deleted that a long time ago. Yeah. I opened it back up today, just do a business one. I don't know. I'm trying the social media thing. You know?
trying to get into it.
Yeah, I'm trying the whole thing. But yeah, Tyrone Marshall Brown on Instagram and I believe Twitter as well.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. So we want to wish you all the best, and we really hope you make it out. We hope your character make it out live.
We'll see you continuing after the mid-season finale, we hope.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And most of all, we wish you that tomorrow you're going to be in a brighter light than you are today, because that's what you said. So. Yeah.
Yes, it's all of us. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
I just followed you, bro. All right.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. I'm going to try to figure out how I can see that.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. All right, see you later. Thank you. All right, so let's get into it. All right, so James walks in as Tasha and Epiphany are handing, as Epiphany hands her drug money that she's earned from the strip club. And then we see then Ghost or James at the school with Mr. Radner. He looks creepy as fuck, right? Or was he?
Oh, the Radner guy, yeah.
He's on drugs, so.
Completely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think Ghost noticed that there was something off with him?
I don't know.
No.
I don't
know. You know, Ghost isn't into that.
People said the guy looks like Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those things led up to the big argument. Who wants to go first?
Whomever.
I'm going to let y'all go.
So I just thought it's interesting that Power went to the extent that we
domestic
saw.
Domestic violence.
Exactly, you know, and we did see something. I think you brought it up, how like 2-Bit had called LaKeisha like, oh, I'm going to put hands on you. Mm-hmm. On this episode here, we actually saw him put hands on Tasha. Mm-hmm. So the messaging has changed this season in a way.
Is that supposed to be out of desperation? I just... for me, mm-hmm. as vicious as Ghost as we know he is, we've never seen him be that physical with Tasha, Keisha, or any of the other women on the show. So I guess we're led to believe that that's how emotional he is because Tariq is in the game and mm-hmm. he doesn't want that for him. But it just seemed a little off of it for his character for me. But kicked off a bunch of other stuff.
No, mm-hmm. and see, I don't feel that it was off. I felt that I felt it was justified, and I see exactly why Ghost decided that.
See if I could roll this.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
If it'll go land right.
Go ahead, man. You're revving up the ladies.
Yes, it was justified. It was justified. So let me say this. Mm-hmm. If ever I find out that someone is selling drugs to my child, I don't care if it's my mama. Oh, we gonna have a fucking problem. And therefore, Ghost had every right. Okay, so
if he put his
Yes, he did. Let me explain.
Go ahead.
He had every right to. And again, like I said, from a parent perspective, if you find out that someone is selling drugs to your kids, mm-hmm. you are going to go off. I don't know any parent who would not want to do that. He will go completely off. In addition to that, again, why is it so difficult for his wife to not sell drugs?
Estranged.
Does it matter?
Why is it so difficult for Ghost to take care of the household? Why was it so difficult for Ghost to divorce Tasha before he got involved with Angie? Why was it so difficult for Ghost not to pursue a relationship with a federal DA before he got himself out of the drug gang? Why
Get
is
him.
It so difficult for Ghost to see who Tariq for who he really is and deal with that instead of trying to blame Tasha for everything that has come along?
And
come on, Bam.
They're both blaming each other. And again, let me just go specifically to the point of this whole notion that this is Tariq. No, Tariq is not a fucking drug dealer.
This is who Tariq is now.
No, it's not.
He is a spoiled kid
who's mad that his dad wasn't there, so he wants to get back with his dad and he wants to sell drugs. He's not about the life. He's a spoiled rich kid, and versus Ghost and Tommy and Tasha, they had reasons to why they had to. They grew up in the streets. What is Tariq's motivation for being a drug dealer? Please answer me. What is his motivation? Why is he a drug dealer?
He just wants to get some money.
I mean, here's the thing. No one is saying that it is a right choice or it is a good choice. It is simply his choice. Do you know what I mean? If he wanted to be a scholar, he could have done that.
So
he didn't turn his anger and his problems into basketball or sports or a girl. He chose this. Even after his uncle, who he knows is a murderer at this point, told him, stay out the game, godfather, you know, however you want to term it. He chose to continue doing this. So at some point, free will takes effect with everyone. And he is not at the age where they can just lock him down, clearly, because if they could, they would have. If he listened to Ghost, if he was so much the person that Ghost believes he was, he would be listening to Ghost. Ghost hasn't been with Angie for
Tasha's
a while now.
Tasha's manipulating the shit out of him because
okay.
why? It's
She's
a power
manipulating
struggle.
Who? Who?
Tariq?
You know what? Listen, okay. Let me just say this real quick. First of all, because we weren't that. I understand that is how we got here, but the question that you initially talked about was about Ghost putting his hands on Tasha.
Yes.
It is not justified. It'll never be justified.
For you and your life,
and I hope your future wife is watching mm-hmm. this, that you could possibly go there and take it to, like, physical, getting physical. Because here's the thing. He took it way too far. In actuality, like he's had more reason. Kind of going to what you were saying before, Jill. Like he's had more reason to go off or be desperate or go like way beyond before this point. You know what I'm saying? He did not have a reason to do that with Tasha. And to your point, you're saying if I ever found out somebody was selling drugs to my kid or whatever, then go find whoever it is that was selling drugs. Like if you want to take it out on somebody and you know he's in the game, go take out the people.
Yeah. He didn't put his hands on Vincent.
Yeah, go take them out. If he knows what's up. Because at this point, Ghost knows what's up. If he knows that, go handle your business elsewhere. But don't take that out on Tasha.
So we
and
just
you
gonna,
disagree.
So we just gonna let Tasha slide, huh?
It's not that.
Look, my point is, will it? I stood it before, right? And I stand it now, right? Yeah. Is that she's saying, like, listen, I'm probably, I think I'm the only one. No, you have a child.
Yeah.
So I have two kids, and I'm saying, if my kids, you know, we're not even there yet. My kids are young and all of that stuff, and God forbid that they would ever just say, this is my life, Mom, no matter what you do, no matter what, this is where I'm going. I'm saying, from a mother's point of view, she's saying, so you don't die, so you don't get killed out there, then I'm going to show you the right way to go. Right or wrong, I can understand where she's coming from as a parent. That's what I'm saying. And I stand on that.
As a parent, I also cannot allow,
But my question is, what is the other point? What would you do in Tasha's position? Would you just be like, all right, we'll go out. If you're going to do drugs, then get out of my house. I don't want to be associated with you. Would you just keep doing every single day? Tariq, no.
Well, see, I think the problem with Tasha is Tasha refuses to leave this life. She is stuck on wanting to live.
Where's
this
she gonna go? She's not living a lavish life. She could do what? James isn't paying her any money.
Listen.
We got more stuff to talk about.
We do.
We're not gonna hang on this.
We have 21 minutes. Yeah, we got 21 minutes.
So.
After, I could just go on yes, and stretch I, this oh, topic out.
Absolutely.
Y'all said too. Everything.
Okay, so then, during the altercation, he goes and says that he will take Yaz away and that he will go and report her. So then he goes and calls. Blanc and them shows up to the daycare. The drugs was not there. Do we have a question about that?
I think we were talking about earlier.
Just that it just seemed like she knew to get everything clean. We don't know what she keeps in the daycare, but nothing being there, they just rolled up. It just seemed a little. I mean, Tasha's smart, so maybe that's just always her plan, but where is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, kind of to that point, and I think we all kind of, everyone felt this, that I understand that we have to wrap this season up. I get it, but it felt so rushed. Yes. This one particular episode, there was just so much involved in it that I feel like some stuff kind of fell through the cracks, and that's one of them, you know?
And speaking of that, so now moving forward, so Tommy Cash and Kadeem, just really quick. So we see Tommy devastated with Akeisha. I just had another petty question. So when Tommy showed up to the new house, that car was blue, and then now we're back to him having this yellow car. Yeah.
Just when he showed up to the house with Lakeisha.
With Lakeisha, when they bought the house.
You mentioned something about that episode, I think, with the two different cars, and I thought maybe they just had multiple cars. I don't know.
So we don't need to go into Tommy's reaction, but just any thoughts of Jesse Williams playing Kadeem, and now he's going to, and now he has cash?
He should have cash. Mm-hmm.
I look forward to seeing more of him. Yeah. They wouldn't bring somebody like that on for just one appearance.
I expect to see more of him in the last five episodes.
Yeah.
So then also, Blanca confronts Tommy. We can move on with that one. So now we go to Tommy, Tasha, Tariq, and Ghost. So Tommy goes to Tasha and Tariq, saying the Ghost can't be killed because Jason. And so he is trying to take pieces of him. And so basically the consensus of that one was Tommy is saying that they don't like this new Ghost and that he has to die and that he has to be killed. And both Tasha and Tariq both agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's at that point, especially once Tariq learned that Ghost put hands on him. He's like, okay, yeah, it's fine. But I was just a huge fan of how Tariq was just handling the whole situation because he clearly knew.
Favorite word, foreshadowing, because Tariq told Ghost to his face, I will kill you.
So I think that
is something that in some form or fashion, whether it actually plays out or we think that that's what plays out, that's going to come into play.
And again, going back to this Tariq, I mean, the boy is even cussing at his mama. I mean, goddamn.
Right.
He's not a grown-ass man because
he's had multiple times, like two episodes, where he was getting caught by everybody, and the only reason that he didn't die was because of who his parents were.
But he's his own man. I don't think it's that he's grown or we think that he is smart in necessarily the moves he's making, but it's very clear he's making these moves independent of himself, and no one else can talk him into things.
And he feels like he's a grown man. And I think, but just kind of, I want to go back to that one scene that...
While you're doing that, I told myself I was going to go in the live chat.
Oh, okay.
So right. Go ahead, hit it.
So the thing that I like about Tariq's character, if anything, right, is that he really is portraying Ghost. A little Ghost. Like, because Ghost is known for keeping his composure at all times, really knowing what's going on, no matter what. So even when Tommy is talking to Tasha and Tariq, and he's saying Ghost has got to go, and Lakeisha died and all that, Tariq is literally sitting there peeping game. So before he even said that he knew Lakeisha died, you see it in his face that he knows what's up, right?
Right.
So I do like that. I like how they're, you know, whether call it his great acting skills, or if this is how they built him up to be, his character, I really do like that.
And then I just think the last scene of the actual episode, we saw Tariq in a way graduate into he's legit on his own as a man, because he said, you were never my father. And I think once he said that, it's like, okay, boom.
Yeah.
I hate lines like,
well,
that shows his immaturity, because it's like, you know, come on.
Yeah, like,
you looked up to your dad. He's fallen. He's made some mistakes. And I'm not saying you should fall out for that, but you were never my dad. He was a father to you in life. And so you're mad at his actions and his motives, but I understand you just want to take a dig. But that, to me, showed the child in him, too.
Good point. You want to say something in these chats, or no?
You got something to say to them?
What they talking about?
I just said hi. I mean, listen, you know what? I say what I say, and it's all good. And if people disagree, that's the great thing about life.
Definitely.
No, people agree with you, too.
Yeah.
A majority of these people actually agree with you, Bam, and several people disagree with us. MJBX says, Robin and Jill are both way off today. So, you know, thank you for your opinion. And that's just the name of the game, right? So,
it's just the name of the game. You know,
and let's all remember that this is a television show. You know what I'm saying?
It's a TV show, but there's a lot of reality of what we're watching. If you really think about the context of the show, of how the relationship between the black male-female relationship, this is very serious, which is why you have a lot of people
who get so emotional.
They ride or die for Tasha. They ride or die for Ghost. They ride or die for Tommy, for Dre. I mean,
let me just be clear, because I know we have a little bit of time left. I witnessed domestic violence growing up. I'm the type of person that if I'm driving in my car and I see a man on the street, a random person, and he's going off on a woman, I'm the type of person that will pull over my car and be like, "What's up?" I'm that woman, right?
I tried that before, and I almost got beat up. I'm just saying I'm never going to put myself in harm's way, but
if it's a situation that I can get in, or if I call the police, or I'll do whatever I can. I'm not a driver buyer. I'm never that person who will even condone it and be like, "Yeah." But I will say this to you, Bam. I understand where Ghost was coming from. I understand the frustration of, like, I am trying to save my kid. Why aren't you trying to save our kid with us? So he was to a point where we were talking about, again, I believe he's been in far more desperate situations, even with his own life. But it's something different when you're trying to fight for your kid, right? And then this is the mother of your kid. I understand how you can be like, if you guys ever seen the Kevin Hart joke where he's like to the woman, you know, like, you want to do that. So I get that. I just feel like he took it way too far. I mean, even when she said, "I'll scream," and he put the thing, I mean, you saw the rage in his eyes. I just don't condone that.
The thing that, you know, would piss me off the most, obviously, most people, the smush at the end, I thought that was actually pretty funny, but see, this is
my problem with the overall thing. She is trying to kill her ex-husband. He doesn't know this, but she's trying to have this nigga killed.
But he will take her out if need be, too. He was trying to, like, here's the thing. There's no loyalty between them. Ghost doesn't have any loyalty to Tasha. He kind of doesn't care what happens to Tasha, even before this happened, because he was like, "You got to get out." And I don't think he would kill her, though. But if you leave, if you know she doesn't have a job, she has kids to take care of, and it's just like, well, figure out how you're going to get some money. No, you're not killing her, but you're leaving her for dead. You're leaving her to make choices that a desperate person has to make. So, once again, I'm not justifying. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No. I was just going to say, and speaking of choices, she did mention that she will tell the cops about Terry Silver. I think that's what really took him over the edge. Because now you're talking about my freedom. Now I'm about to
go to jail. And I think that's where he just went over the top.
But had he already called the cops on the daycare before that happened?
No, after. Remember.
So here they talk. So let's talk about how.
How everybody's snitching on each other. But of course, you know, Blanca and Sax roll up to Tasha's house, mm-hmm. and then they question her. You know, how can we get Ghost? And we saw her, if not for the first time this series, she actually broke and she snitched.
Now when Courtney gets her next week, hopefully, I have a problem with that because Courtney says she doesn't do flashbacks. We've seen flashbacks 3 times.
Well,
it doesn't make sense, but
but I think what she was saying that be like flashbacks to where we've never seen
in before.
They would do it within here. Within it the makes series.
Kind of
sense. Yeah,
but you know. But again, Cooper and Blanca really got to Tasha because she basically ratted and said that Ghost killed Silver. Now, we talked about this off camera. Robin hit it in regards to Terry Silver. Is he dead? Who killed him? Hit it.
Yeah, okay, so let's go back to that scene. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Tasha and Terry Silver have sex in that garage? And then Ghost saw that, or they met up. I don't know. I thought they had sex right before.
They did have sex. We don't know if it was that garage.
It was implied, right?
Yep.
So then, and then Ghost sees, and Natasha leaves. Ghost sees Terry. So obviously the
implication. And we know the phones were tracked also because of Blanca. Like they were tracking their phones. Blanca mentioned something about Tasha. That's how Tasha said, "I was having an affair with Terry Silver." That's how she let Blanca know that because they were tracking their phones. So there's that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we saw that Ghost. He was there, and so everything implies that Ghost killed Terry because he never showed back up again or whatever, and that he was just dead.
Yeah, put him in headlock.
But now that whole weird scene where Tasha is talking to Sax and
Blanca.
Thank you.
Rodriguez.
Where she was like, "Well, if you take a left on, Terminal 5, I mean, it was like
maybe
to
the fifth floor where no cars are going to be.
It was just so weird, and it actually gave me the feeling that she may have killed him. I don't know how possible that is, but it was weird.
Yeah,
or
it was.
Just a theory.
She knew something. I mean, because I don't understand why she would know exactly where the body is.
And then also too, if she knew exactly where the body was, or why not go take care of it at some point, all before all this leading up? You know what I mean?
In addition, though, hasn't there been several times where she was like, when she went looking for Terry and everybody was saying we couldn't find him?
She went to the
of a sudden now does she know pretty much right where he
Great
is?
Point,
Remember,
Robin.
She was
Great
blowing
point.
Up his cell phone. She went to the apartment. She went to the law firm. Yeah. So something
about that is very strange.
That scene was just unlike of Power, that's all.
It just wasn't right. It was a setup for something else. I don't know what it is, but there was some Easter egg dropped in that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about the conversation with Tariq and Ghost, right?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, so Dre ratted out on for Tommy at the warehouse, and he ratted on Jason. So let's go to Ghost Buys, the building for the QPC, and let's talk Jason versus Ghost.
I was upset of how Jason died.
You thought it was weak,
just like Benny too, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah,
but like,
favorite.
you thought that was weak.
Benny was weak,
but you thought Jason was?
Yeah, because they made him seem so superior, or even if not superior, the same level as Ghost. And at one point during the fight, he had the upper hand, right? And then all of a sudden, Ghost gets on top, and then boom, you know, kills him. So I was just upset that. Maybe I just wanted them to make it a little bit more dramatic, I guess.
I completely agree with you, Jimmy.
Once Ghost was on top, it's over.
That's my sentiments exactly about Benny and Tommy. I was just like, Benny is supposed to be...
this big old badass. He's a straight.
And then he comes with the knife.
A little
and then
bitty flip knife. He brought a knife to a gunfight. What you doing, Benny?
He should have had a gun. He should have shot his ass.
Yeah, it was literally like a one thing, and he tripped Tommy. Yeah. You know, I was just like, I was very disappointed in that. But I know that they got to move it along.
Lisa Marie.
I was okay with the elevator scene because the goal was for Ghost to shoot him, and then Tommy, you know, set him up because he thought that that Ghost killed Keisha. Mm-hmm. But the question, but the million dollar question is, Dre, who has nine lives, who just never die. How the fuck he get off the rooftop where
the random security guard comes and says, "Hey, got out the building, made it all the way to Saks' apartment."
Did he jump down? Like, did he have on a Spider-Man costume? What happened?
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Dre snitches on Ghost to Saks, and then Saks says, "Hey, go put this in Ghost's apartment." And then,
how does he get
Dre is inside the apartment.
How does he get into the apartment?
Right.
But it's
hotel room.
Yeah. But it's pretty clear that they all have their ways of getting around. Like, you know, like Dre, they all know how to. They're like professional hitmen. So I guess the logic of that is they can make it happen.
You know what it is? Here's the thing. I mean, and I appreciate that. The only thing is that if, you know, watching all five seasons of this show, there are very strategic moves they seem to make when they go for a hit or when they go to plant something, and not seeing them, it makes it feel like there's something else in those spaces that we didn't see just by the nature of the way the show is laid out.
It's so funny. I was looking at Dre's new crew, and I was like, they look like the 90s group of Azjet. Like, the Puerto Rican version of Azjet.
One more, because I actually do want to talk really briefly about a question that someone brought up that I thought was really good.
There's two more topics, questions, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so
let's get into
it. So, Robert on our Instagram page, our Power After Plug page.
Shout out to everybody who joined us over there.
Yes, he said, Courtney Kemp said that the first 10 episodes ask a specific question that the last five answer. So what's the question? Could it be that Ghost goes legit? Who killed or shot Ghost, etc.? Whatever it is, if they decide to kill Ghost, then a lot of fans will scorch the earth. Okay, what's the question though? That's what he wanted to know.
I mean, everything is about final betrayal. So whatever the it's Ghost dying, Tommy going to jail, and we find the answers to that these next five or some, and you know who rats, something like that. One of them isn't gonna make it out, or more than one.
Yo, if Ghost dies, the internet might go crazy.
I'm expecting, honestly, I feel like Ghost is gonna die. Tommy's going to jail. That's what I feel like.
Tommy was going to jail.
I think now Tasha's going to jail.
I think that could happen.
I think Tasha's going to jail. Yeah. Really quickly, so let me drag. I've done enough dragging up Tasha. Let me drag.
We got 5 minutes, Ben.
Let me drag Tubit and Francis. So these Negroes,
they're the same person.
Yeah, yeah. Tubit and Spanky, and then the Roberto, the Dominican dude. I need them to be consistent. Like, bro, if you're going to be in the clique, I need you in every episode. I don't care if you don't have dialogue. I need you to be
in the background.
I need you to be in the background. I need you to nod your head. Yeah. I need you to do something.
Because in this episode, he was stepping up. He was flexing. Where was he when
Black Grimace was around? So I need consistency, okay?
Which, too, I was confused. I thought 2Bit and Tommy weren't seeing eye to eye.
But now they are.
They calling him, meet me at the spot. Okay, cool.
So that also goes to show how stupid they are. There's a difference between guys who sell drugs and then there's people like Ghosts who are drug distributors, because they're upset with Tommy because they think Tommy set them up. So you think Tommy is really that stupid to where he's going to sell them out?
Set up his,
and then
his
as he's there,
crew,
do you expect Tommy to go and say, hey, dumb. So really quickly, Ramona, Tate and James. Any questions before we go to predictions?
I told you guys James was going into politics.
You did.
And it might be an assassination attempt or success, you know, because lieutenant governor. This seems like a stretch, but
I do have one issue with what happened. I have a problem with how Ghost didn't necessarily, he did say to Tate, he was like, you're going to see my next move tomorrow morning on the news. I don't like playing your cards before it's time yet. And then Ramona straight up did it, though.
She said the same thing.
Yeah, I was just like, why are you saying, you know, because now you're leaving
opportunity for him to mess it up.
For opportunity for him to try to come after you, you know, try to sabotage it, something like that. So I don't like that part.
So we saw Mona play both sides of the coin.
Yes.
One scene, she's like, Tate, I'm with you 100%. Later on, Ghost, I'm with you 100%. Obviously, she ended up choosing Ghost, but what does that say about her character?
She was playing Tate.
Yeah, and we knew she was playing Tate.
Until she positioned herself with the other thing. Yeah. I didn't feel anything about that.
It was just a culmination, I think, on this episode.
And then I thought some foreshadowing, because Tate said he's got a plan to get rid of James. Mona said, what was the plan? He said, I'm not going to tell you now. Yeah. Only time will tell. So I think that's going to be James's demise.
You can say. I agree.
Okay, so before we go, do we have any predictions? Anyone has any predictions?
After Buzz TV predictions.
One more episode, y'all.
Right, and then how long is the break?
We'll be back in January.
They haven't announced when they're coming back.
Exactly when.
There's a schedule. Yeah.
January. Right. Yeah. I just know, but yeah.
It does say to be determined, but I think it does.
As we go on. My only prediction now is I really think Tyrone is, he showed his hand to me.
You mean Q?
Q,
yes. He cannot be that dumb.
Excuse me.
He can't be that dumb. And the way that he's just assuming the questions and just always blaming Ghost, and you don't even know this dude. But again, I have to drag Tasha just for a quick second. If she can, she, never mind. All right, so listen, before we go, you guys.
Predictions over there. I don't want to do predictions, but Bam says hashtag kill Tasha. So we are on a mission to kill Tasha. She is the
spread that hashtag, y'all.
She's not gonna die. That's
tag us.
That's just
me being petty after what she did. Getting in his face and saying all what you're doing, and then
I'm just curious because I know we got to go because you have something very special. We got something special for you guys. But is Ghost wrong at all?
Yes, Ghost. Ghost is wrong, but the overall thing of. Y'all can't be drug dealers until you're 70. Like, Ghost mapped out a perfect plan. Yeah. It's not like they're poor. Well, you have now all this opportunity to...
You're right. They're not poor. But he ain't giving her no money. And here's the thing. She is trying to go legit. Yeah. She was trying to go legit. But then Zig came up in the picture. Go ahead, okay. Bam!
All right. So everyone, I have a film that I produce and that I star in. It's called Uncle Ed's Bucket List.
Yeah!
And it's coming out on November 26th. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's in it.
But I was gonna introduce you, man.
Hey,
AfterBuzz family, check this out. Exclusive here, Bam Erickson, film premiere, Uncle Ed's Bucket List. Let's play it, let's do it.
Hey!
Where am I?
Uncle Ed, calm down, you're here at home.
They called and said you have the enterovirus. They said they don't know if you have more than 6 months. I see you made a bucket list.
Bingo. Number one. Teach a yoga class to rappers while high on scissor.
This is my life associate, Ashley.
Make a hit rap song.
Cause I'm missing in the brain. I know I'm insane. I'm booming the vein. I'm popping that purple, that purple, that popping the purple.
What you got, Uncle Ed?
Are you Uncle Ed? The music video. It's my favorite song. You have over 100 million views.
Uncle Ed? From high school?
We're gonna fight it. We're gonna talk, huh? Give me the money. Give me the love.
Give me the love. Give me the
love. That was the greatest moment of my life.
People died.
Give me the pipe and the trucks. Give me the money. Give me the love.
Let's go, Bam. We making moves out here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So,
UncleEdFilm.com, is that where they can go?
That's the plug.
Yes, UncleEdFilm.com. It comes out on November 26th exclusively on that website. You can follow us on Instagram at UncleEdsBucketList. There's a lot of cool things that's coming up. We have a soundtrack and we have a bunch of stuff that we have coming out as we promote the film. So check out the trailer, go to our website, and check it out.
And I gotta say, we did have the opportunity to view it, and I thought you did a really great job. I thought it was well put together. It was funny. Yeah, so it was great. So you guys definitely go and support that. Bam is out here doing his thug thizzle. We're very, very proud of you, Bam.
It's very important to create your own projects, create your own content. That's and exactly what Bam is doing. Got to.
We appreciate you guys.
All right.
One more episode to the mid-season
finale
of Power. You know, as always, you guys, leave us your comments, your feedback, leave us your predictions. Follow us on Power After Plug.
Keep doing that.
Yeah. All our Instagram stories.
So, Jimmy, where can we find you, brother?
At the Jimmy V.
And you can find me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms. Hopefully, finally we get Courtney in the building. Yes. We'll see. You guys stay tuned.
Yes. At Stiletto Jill everywhere.
And you can find me on all social media at Ben Merrickson. And you can also find my film on social media at UncleWedsBucketList.com. We want to thank our guest Tyrone Marshall Brown for dropping some stuff for us and chatting with us, joining us live from New York via Skype. One episode left. We'll see you guys next week. And stay tuned, stay posted.
Stay, you know, giving us your comments.
And it's also an extended, so it's going to be a longer episode. I think it's going to be like an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. So it's going to be lit.
All right, y'all. All right,
see you guys later. Thank you.
Garo and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.